This is From Dude to Dad. I'm Brian Laurel.
And I'm Chris Pagula.
We're here for you guys. Every episode we talk about things having to do with fatherhood, career, relationships, and also just taking time to just be yourself, to be a guy. And today we're going to talk about, this is a big one. We're going to talk about how to deal with tantrums from your children, with your toddlers especially. Oh my God, I feel like, Chris, that every child secretly takes a class on how to throw a tantrum, because they are just so over the top, but they know the exact wrong time to have them.
Dude, I think I may have given that class when I was a kid, because I'll tell you, I was a nightmare for my parents.
Really?
Oh, wow. Dude, first off, being the fifth of six kids, I was just chosen as the one that they would just love to tease, love to get a rise out of, because they knew how sensitive I was. So that's number one. So I had a lot of unworked issues with my siblings. And mm-hmm. then when I would get into a mood, I remember one time my dad and mom, and the whole car was filled with all of us, and my mom wanted to stop at a department store, and I didn't want to go, and everybody else was excited to go. And this was a weird store, because it was kind of like before malls really existed. And it was like the store had everything from pets, groceries, furniture, outdoor.
What? Yeah. What it store was like, this? Do you remember the name of it?
Sugarman's. It wow. was, yeah. That's... It was in back in the East Coast. And if anyone's listening
some
to this,
milk and
up,
a hamster.
Yeah.
Sugarman's.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. It was like everything and anything you can get there. And it was like a big, it was really like kind of ugly the way it was designed, because it was just like box. It was like a big warehouse, you know? Anyway, I remember one time I did not want to go, and I just threw a tantrum that was like no other. And I used every expletive that I could muster up and cried like no tomorrow through the whole like store while my dad was basically dragging me around, because wow. I wouldn't even walk. And I was like, "You asshole, Jesus." Like literally saying wow. everything I can to get a rise out of my dad. I was just frustrated.
So it's horrible
as a parent to experience that, you know?
Oh yeah. No. And if you've already been through this, guys, we have some tips on how to handle it. And if you are expecting right now, your first child has not yet arrived, this day will arrive. So we're going to talk about some things.
Just wait until it comes.
Oh, it's not pretty. Now, first let's talk about like what causes tantrums. I mean, it obviously every child is different, and so their threshold for things that are frustrating to them are going to vary. But the main reason that these tantrums are having is because they're just learning to
boundaries
speak and. Yeah. And they're learning, since they don't know the words for everything, to say, "Hey, this is annoying. This is frustrating. This is making me mad." They don't know, their brains aren't working that way yet. So the best way that they can express their emotions is screaming, crying, flailing on the ground, you know, hitting, throwing things. So
creating tantrums, a scene.
Creating a scene. Yeah. And children between the ages of like 1 and 3 are the most prone to tantrums, because after you hit 3, then you're learning, your vocabulary is widening, and you can, and I'm not saying that tantrums stop, on their last day of being 3 years old, but I will say that from personal experience, it definitely drops like a rock after about after about 3.5 or 4.
The only thing that's bad is if you have more than one child, and it's the older child that uses, if you have an older child who is more experienced in vocabulary in words that they've learned from school, and then the younger child who's throwing the tantrum picks up those words and just doesn't stop saying them. That's a problem, because that was me. I literally would just, I knew it would get a rise out of my dad trying to get what I wanted, not being in this store. And I could only imagine how he felt, because I felt his grip on my hand getting tighter and tighter, like he just wanted to break my bones to stop me, but it was creating more pain, so I'd only react more. So he didn't learn that wasn't what he should have been doing, you know? But
right.
But there's a lot of different techniques that you can do. And if you start off with like a young child, that's an infant, you know, they may be, screaming uncontrollably because they're either hungry. Remember that last episode we did where you go through the questions of like, you know, are they hungry? The diaper, da 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 da. So it's easier when it's babies, but when it's toddlers, there's some, you know, there's conversations that I think that need to be had with the kids so that they understand what is expected of them. And you got to follow through what's expected of them if they don't follow through with that behavior and just leave. And that's where I think most parents fail, is because they need to get their chore accomplished and they still go through with it, even though their child is tantruming and mm-hmm. the child never learns the lesson.
Yeah, the first thing you really need to do is, well, realize they're not doing it on purpose. They're not doing it to be manipulative or anything like that. They're simply just expressing what they're feeling or what they're wanting. And think about it, guys. This is kind of the way that I've learned to look at this is, think if you wanted something and you didn't have, you know, you're in a foreign country or something and you wanted something, and no matter how much you expressed you wanted this, you were told no. As a grown man, you were told no, you can't eat that, or no, you can't watch that TV show, or no, you'd be like, well, wait a minute, what the hell? Why can't I watch this? This is what I want. This is what children are dealing with all the time, because they can't make their own choices. They are totally at your whim, you know, whatever you want to allow them to play with, eat, where you go, what they watch, what they read. So that's where this frustration mounts from. But the first thing you want to remember, and we're going to get into actual things here now, is you don't want to lose your cool, because losing your cool is, I mean, they've already lost their cool. They're throwing a fit, whether it's at home or in the middle of the mall. When your kid is in a tantrum, they're not in a place to hear. They're not adults. They're not going to listen to reason right away. And especially if they're really young, like one or two, it's not like, hey, let's calm down here, it's going to be okay, I will, you know, whatever, insert bribe here. You know, they're already enraged. So you getting mad as well is not going to, you're not going to break through. They're screaming, yelling, threatening, spanking, whatever is really going to make the situation worse. The more that you shout, it probably they're going to escalate their tantrum to meet you where you're at, because now they're seeing, oh, I'm getting a response of some sort, and wow, look how mad they are. Well, I'm mad too, and I'm going to be louder than they are. So staying calm and cool is definitely step one.
You know, Brian, you mentioned a important word, bribe, because once you get into bribing your kids, you pretty much, for lack of a better description, fuck yourself up, because they're always gonna expect it, because they know that you'll give into it. So even though you said they're not doing this to be manipulative, they kind of learn by your boundary setting that, oh, if I A, break down, then I will get what I want. And I think one of the things that you have to do when your child is old enough to understand, you know, even like 3 years old, maybe, or 4, you have to have a before the scene talk before you go to, say, the grocery store or to wherever you're going to run your errand. You got to say, listen, today when we go to the store, you get to look, but we're not buying, because, you know, we don't get to buy every time we go. And if your kid says, I understand, and then you go to the store and they still like throw that out the window, forget you even had that conversation, and start screaming, crying, they want something, you got to leave. And you got to say, mm-hmm. okay, next time you won't be able to come to the store with me because you're not able to hold up your end of, you know, the bargain. But that's where I think I was saying, like earlier, parents fail, because they're just like, all right, I'll just get a few things and go through with it. And that's,
yeah, giving that's in, you're just part. Teaching them. Yeah. You're just teaching them that throwing a fit is a good way to get what they want. And that's not that is so you're fixing something in the short term, so you don't have to listen to that crying for another 5 minutes, and you're screwing yourself for 5 years or longer to come, because now it's like, oh, last time he said he wasn't going to buy me Jack and we went to Target, I threw a fit, I got something. So this time he's saying you're not getting anything. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw a fit again. Kids aren't stupid. They're learning, and it's very Pavlov's dog-ish to, for them. It's like, oh, throw a fit, get a reward so I be quiet. They're not learning anything that way. So what Chris says is exactly right. When you're, and even at home, it doesn't even have to be, you know, it's they're throwing a fit because they want to watch a TV show and you're like, fine, I'll turn on the TV. Well, you have just cut right. your legs out from under yourself and you've given them all the power.
You know, also I think it's not easy to just like pick up your kid and walk out because you're also dealing with the embarrassment and the judgment as a parent of other people around you. And you're like in that moment of, oh boy, all eyes are on me. My kid is breaking down in the middle of this store. I'm like, you start getting anxiety.
You have a cart full of stuff.
Ugh, it's yeah, a cart full of stuff. And it's the worst. And like, you start sweating, getting hot and panicking, anxiety. And it's the worst feeling, but you've got to know that every parent has been there. And as much as you think that all eyes are on you thinking you suck as a parent, I know when I see something like that happening, I'm like, oh God, I'm so glad I'm not there anymore. I feel for you. I know what that's like because I've had my fair share of this three times over. And let me tell you, I don't know if I'd ever want to go back to it because it's horrific as a parent.
So What do you do? So timeouts are obviously a good thing. I mean, we're not here to tell you how to parent. We're telling you how you can parent. So using timeouts usually doesn't work earlier than about 18 months. Before then, they don't really understand the whole concept. But you should still use those timeouts sparingly. And, it definitely can help when things are getting, going off the rail. If you're out in public, that timeout could be, picking the child up and putting them in the cart and saying, you can't walk around anymore. You can't touch. I'm taking, you're confining them. If they're already in the cart or sitting in the seat and they're throwing a fit, then, maybe that timeout is taking place when they get home. But having that time where they can stop and think about what they're doing. And let's be real, guys, they're not really truly thinking about what they're doing, but they're being put in a place, whether it's a corner or you're in the car and they have to sit in the back seat and there's no music on the way home or whatever your usual car ride ritual is with them, giving them a timeout of some sort is good. And it needs to be a boring spot. It can't be like go to your room where there's a shit ton of toys, or okay, well, go in the living room where there's a bunch of books, or here's your iPad, there needs to be nothing there. It needs to be their face in a corner, or they're sitting in a room where they don't have the luxuries that they usually have, the things to play with. This needs to be a time it's like, oh wow, this sucks. This is boring. There's nothing to do right now. I don't like this. So, but what you wanted to also do is make sure that you're using that sparingly. Because if you do that all the freaking time, then you're probably going to start to develop some other issues with your child. So timeouts. Did you do timeouts with your kids, Chris?
Tried. They never listened to me. That's the only other problem. No, I think that like timeouts are important and it really gives them a chance to reflect on what happened. But also, you don't want to shame your child and make them feel bad for having the behavior that they had, because quite honestly, it's a normal experience. It's how kids figure out what's appropriate behavior and what's not. And that's where you as the parent come in and guide them. And that's why you've got to hold your calm and be, just sort of even keel about it. Because when you show emotion as well and you break down, then the kids got you in the palm of their hand because they know how to work you. So it's, again, so hard, especially when you've got so much going on during the day, you've got so much to do. And the last thing you want to feel is that this 2-year-old has got you in the palm of the hand and is like controlling you like a puppet. It feels very much that way. And you may have a lot of pent up frustration, resentment, anxiety. And that's the time where you've just got to like take a deep breath and be like, okay, I'm the one in control. you know, I can handle this. And that's where you just immediately pick up and leave and just leave that full, whatchamacallit, shopping cart there, and hopefully no one notices it's yours.
And so the next thing you want to do after, when the shitstorm has come to an end, you do want to talk it over. You don't want to just ignore it and move on with your day. You want to actually talk. And it doesn't matter, you know, if you're dealing with a very small child. I mean, you obviously want to talk to them in very simple vocabulary, but you want them to help them put their feelings into words. Like, you want to say, oh, I understand that you're really, you're really sad, or you're angry because we didn't buy you that toy, or you were really upset because we drove right past McDonald's and you wanted an ice cream cone, or you want to show them that you understood what they were feeling, and two, give them some words to use for next time, because they may not have those words yet and they didn't know how. So after several times, it'll be like, yes, I was angry because you didn't buy me that toy. And once they are able to express themselves in that way, they may choose, and it's going to take several times, but after several times, they may choose to go that route and say, like, I'm that way with, you know, my daughter. She's 5 now, but when she was, you know, right about the time she turned 4, she turned to me one time because we were at Target, and we had the whole discussion. We're not buying everything every time we come here, like Chris said. And, she turned to me when we were in the line checking out. She's like, Dad, I'm really angry with you. And I'm like, why? And she's like, well, you didn't buy me anything. And so I, you know, crouched down and I explained, you know, well, we already had this talk and we don't buy something every time, but, you know, maybe if you're, you know, another time, you know, we'll come and get something. And she's like, well, I don't want to wait until my birthday because that's going to be a long time from now. I'm like, no, you don't have to wait till it's your birthday. But we had a discussion there, basically. And so she felt disappointed still, but understood. And then you want to say, you know, like, you know, oh, I'm sorry that you were feeling that way. And, you know, here's why we do what we're doing now, or why we're not doing what you want to do now. And you talk it over with them. And you want to let your child know that you love them, that you're not saying no because there's, again, they don't understand everything that they're feeling, but hearing words like, you know, I love you, but, you know, we can't buy something every time. And just having a calm conversation can go a long way down the road from working your way to a point where the tantrums are non-existent.
You know, Brian, I think you actually said the most important step is talking about it once things are calm and the event has happened and it's, you know, an hour or two later, because that's where the real learning comes in. You know, when you explain to your child in simple terms, depending on their age, why you did what you did and why they couldn't get what they wanted. And that's how the process starts. Again, it's like, it's hard. Parenting takes work. And this, though, having this knowledge ahead of time, I wish I had more of this before I went into it. And you know, it does depend on the disposition of your child, too. You may have a really cool, laid-back child who's like, cool, okay, whatever. But if you have a very sensitive, emotionally charged child, like I'd say 2 of my 3 kids are, it's going to be a bit painful to go through these experiences. But if you follow through and then have that away from the scene talk later on, you're going to find that that technique away from the scene talk is going to serve you for years to come, even when they're teenagers and they are in the middle of, you know, an instance where you guys are in an argument or disagreement over something. You got to wait until they cool down and then you talk about why you made your decision later on so they can understand. If you get into the habit of doing it early on in your parenting, you are just going to be a killer parent and you're just going to like be able to take these issues head on. If you don't, you're going to find that you feel like you don't have control over your family. And it's a lot of what I feel like sometimes. You know, you're just trying to be a fun, great, loving parent, but you can't be a friend to your child. You have to be the leader to your child. So, you know, start those early on, that behavior, so that you can get into the habit and, you know, hopefully have a strong relationship with your child.
Now, you also want to try to head off any sort of situations that you think, you know, once you get to know your child, you'll learn, oh, this is when tantrums usually take place. So pay attention to things like, you know, if he or she like completely loses it or is more prone to tantrums when they're hungry, maybe you have some snacks with you. You know, you have some, you know, whatever your, the lap sauce packets or the little, you know, the granola bars or whatever. You know, if you find that your child is like, especially like you, maybe your child isn't a morning person and they're especially cranky in the mornings. Well, maybe going and running errands in the morning isn't the best time to go do that. Maybe you wait for, you know, in the afternoon. Maybe they're in a better mood after they get up from their nap or whatever. Maybe, you know, try to time things around them. And you know, Chris and I just got done saying, you know, you're the parent, you're the adult, you're running the shit here. But, you know, at the same time, if you know that your child is prone to be a certain way during a certain time of day or, you know, whatever, then you need to take that into consideration because you don't want to go to Target and have a massive scene breakout. And if you know that your child is not really prone to having a smooth sailing morning, then don't go in the mornings. You know, go Saturday afternoon instead of Saturday morning. And you may want to knock it out early in the day, but if you know that that's probably going to end up being a thing, then don't let it be a thing. So I would say that, you know, keeping in mind that your child is trying to be more independent, which is a good thing. They're growing, which is a good thing. So you also, if you can, you'll give them choices when possible. Let them feel like they have some control. Right. Like I was just saying a few minutes ago that a lot of that frustration is they feel like they don't have any say. Like, we're going where mom and dad want to go. We're eating where mom and dad want to eat. We're, you know, we're watching, you know, when TV, when mom and dad say I can, or I'm playing with toys when I'm going to bed when they say I have to. Like, there's no autonomy in their life and they're kids and that's fine. But you do want them to learn how to be independent and start making some choices. So maybe it's, hey, do you want to have this for dinner tonight or that for dinner tonight? Or do you want to go to the park now or do you want to go to the park
right,
later?
Giving them the power to make a decision. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you're giving them a choice between really things that you want them to have, but it's giving them the impression that they have some control in their life. And so I think that's a good thing. But then the last thing I would say is look at yourself. Like, is there anything you're doing that's causing these tantrums? Like, are you like frantic? Are you running late? And, you know, when you are in the mall, it's like, shit, son of a bitch, we got
to
pick up.
Right. Your energy transfers to your child's energy.
Absolutely. Yeah. They pick up on that. Or did you and your wife just have a fight right before you left the house? You know, are you modeling this kind of behavior unknowingly? You know, do you have an argument and now you're heading off to the grocery store with your kid and the kid is like totally absorbed all that and they're like, oh, this is how dad acts, this is how mom acts, so now this is how I'm going to act. And if that's the case, I mean, this is where it's probably this is the hardest thing, because if you and your wife are prone to having arguments in front of your kids, and that's another episode, and you guys know deep down you shouldn't do that, but things happen, and you need to understand that if your child then is sort of acting the same way on a smaller scale, you know, are they picking that up from you? Are they throwing this tantrum because it's like, oh, this is, I'm feeling tension now and I don't know how else to get rid of it, so I'm just going to throw a tantrum. And then go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, you know, we only scratched the surface of different tools and techniques to use on this specific subject, but there are a plethora of books out there on the market that address this specific issue. And I think one of them is Positive Parenting, which is a great book to pick up and skim if you want to, or read it from cover to cover and just really get the skills down early on. Don't think that just because your kid is an infant, you don't need to read it now. Read it ahead of time while you have some more time, because once your kid starts crawling around, walking around, you're just going to be, you know, constantly watching and not have much time to like absorb and really understand. So pick up a book.
Be prepared for when it comes, because it will come. This isn't an if. It's
no
a,
doubt.
It's a when.
It's
so
yeah.
If you,
yeah.
And that's why what this episode is about too. If you, you know, if you can be prepared a little bit when you first start seeing it, you can immediately start to put some things into practice that hopefully will curb that happening on a more regular basis.
Exactly. So hopefully these were some great tips for you all. And if you have any tips that you'd like to offer us that we skip, just press that little blue microphone on our From Dude to Dad show website, and we'd love to hear from you. But otherwise, until then, we will catch you on our next episode of From Dude to Dad.